This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Al was all worked up about Joe Flacco this morning on the warm-up show. Can't understand how he still draws interest at this stage of his career. I kept saying, I wish Boomer was here to explain to Al, because he's like, we got hundreds of colleges and football programs, but we can't get 32 competent starting quarterbacks. Like,
it's
what's
hard.
The deal?
It's a really hard deal, and that's right. Why guys like Joe can still hang around. I mean, they can go out there and do it. There's not going to be 17 weeks of it, and you're not going to be happy with it.
But if we had hundreds of dental schools, and when they came out of school, they couldn't be dentists. Wouldn't we go, these colleges are failing us? These colleges are failing the NFL. They are. They're producing terrible quarterbacks.
It is a different game.
I don't think you realize how hard it is.
Right.
That's the thing. You can't even comprehend. And by the way, you were the quarterback of your flag football team.
And he's throwing picks to chicks.
For about 2 games, and you had a mental breakdown.
Right, because we've complicated the position, which is why no one can do it anymore.
He doesn't calls are too long.
Right, I will agree with you 100%. When you listen to John Gruden and he tries to explain a play to the guys at Barstool, imagine teaching a 21-year-old coming out of college who came from a college offense, you know, some, you know, 23-word play, which is insane. Like, I want my quarterback to be able to play with not a tied-up brain. So you can't give him 50 different things that are going on the...
So then you agree with him.
You are right about that. And that's always been a big bugaboo for me. Not every team is that way. Some guys are worse than others because they feel like they have to tell everybody what to do, when in fact you really don't have to tell everybody what to do. If you just give a concept, and then if you want to change a route on a particular play, you could do that. But you got to teach concepts first, and then you could start adding to the playbook by spreading things out and adding words. But you can't do it to like a 21-year-old kid coming out of college. You're asking for failure.
The NFL might be failing them more so than failing the NFL.
That's what I think. And right. I'm thinking about Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And I was thinking also about Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud his first year. I couldn't believe Bobby Slowick ended up getting fired last year. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with these young kids, you want to find out what they can do best, and then you want to try to accentuate that. But you want to try to keep it as mentally, I guess, untaxing. You just don't want to tax them overall, because they got to read defenses.
They'll be thinking too much.
And they've made it easier for the players now because they can hear them in the ears. The coach can talk to them before the play and tell them the play, so they don't really have to know everything, which I think is really a negative for the quarterback. But, yeah, they've made it way too complicated, and that's one of the reasons why guys like Joe Flacco and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers can continue to play into their 40s.
I'm sure at some point we ask you this question over the last 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
But did you ever go into a huddle and draw up a play in the dirt? Like, you didn't like what came in, and you said to your wide receivers,
oh, yeah,
screw it, we're going to do this.
Well, yeah, 1995 under Richie Kotite, this size was doing it the whole freaking game.
For real?
Yeah, because, unfortunately, like, that was like one of the first couple of years where we had to coach the quarterback communication device. And Richie had that device on his hip. And he didn't realize that he had to hold the button down initially. So I was hearing every third word, like, I'm like, what the F are we doing here? And so I would just end up calling my own plays early on. And it was a little bit of a tension between the two of us.
Shocker. A little bit of a battle.
And I was like, hey, man, you got to hold that button down. You got to hold it down.
I'm not a genius.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Boy, tough times.
Oh, it was tough times. Funny. You know, and sometimes the wrong personnel come in and the wrong play didn't coincide with the personnel you have. And you got to clean that stuff up. And young quarterbacks aren't ready to do that yet.
And you had 30 seconds to figure it out.
And wasn't there a story about it rained on his two-point chart? So he didn't know.
And the ink brand.
Yeah.
What do we do? I guess we didn't laminate it. It's important to do lamination at that point. You know what I mean?
I think how stupid that is. You're going out into the rain with paper. Like, that's not going to go well.
I do remember one situation. We were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars that year, and I think it was either week two.
Something like that. First season?
The Peyton Manning Bowl, we called it in the pregame.
What's that?
In the pregame, the Jets pregame, because I was part of the crew there. Dave Jennings called it the Peyton Manning
Bowl. For tanking. Peyton
for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Jacksonville had Mark Brunell. Mm-hmm. I think he was a rookie. They had Tom Coughlin. It was their first year. And I think it was game two of that year. And I think you can look back, and I'm sure somebody will find it.
What season is this now?
1995. We got killed by the Dolphins in week one. Just killed. I mean, murdered. I mean, we had guys. I was calling motion, and the word that we would use for motion was dumb, D-U-M. And twice on successive plays, Wayne Corbett forgot to come in motion, so I had to yell dumb motion to him. Dumb motion, dumb motion. And then the next play, Kyle Brady, who was a rookie out of Penn State, I had to give him dumb motion, but he was in a four-point stance for some reason. I don't know really why. And then I had to tell Cal Dixon, my center, don't snap the ball. I got to tell Brady dumb motion. And then Brian Cox was the middle linebacker of the Miami Dolphins. He'd lean over. He goes, you guys are the dumbest sons of bitches I've ever seen. I'm like, you have no idea. So we ended up getting murdered by
52-14,
them.
52-14, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I know. So now the next week, I think we're playing Jacksonville.
Week three. Eddie was correct.
What was it?
Week three.
It was week three, okay.
Why he sickly remembers that is a
amazing. I don't know, but I know it was Jacksonville, and it was their first season. And we start the first series, and this thing's happening with the quarterback, the communication device. My God, damn it. I couldn't take it anymore. And finally, I called plays. And I believe we went down the field and we scored a touchdown, which was like a remarkable. It was a remarkable accomplishment. And we were all so happy. And I came over to the sideline. Richie wasn't happy with me.
Because you weren't running the plays he was trying to give you.
That he was calling. And he was right. I mean, he's, you know, you got to respect the head coach. There's no question about it. But I just got so frustrated. I just called the plays. And I remember just standing there with him and knowing that I was not going to be his quarterback in the future. We just didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I looked at him, and he's kind of yelling at me on the sideline after scoring a touchdown. And I was standing there knowing that the cameras are on us. And I was smiling, going, okay, that's great. That's really good. Keep your finger on the goddamn button. And if you don't keep your finger on the button, I can't call the plays. Okay, is that okay?
And you're still smiling.
Because if I'm not smiling, then niggas go, oh, there's tension between the head coach and the quarterback.
You do that very well years later.
Yes, I know. But that's, I tell the story every now and again, but that was a true story. And I knew that was so frustrating. Yeah. Did we win that?
I was going to say, Boomer calls his own plays. They win 27-10, and you were 27 of 43 for 296 and three touchdowns.
Oh, God.
There you go.
That was amazing.
Yeah. We're having flashbacks. Do you want to give me one Minko before you get out of here?
Yes.
Give me one Minko.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's about the only Minko we have for some reason.
Really?
We've got the final call in
there. They were winning eight. What? That's all we have is the final call? They were winning 18-3 and killing them early.
Why would you want to call it? Jerry, unless it's close, like we had you the other day.
We used to run the highlights.
Losing in overtime.
Oh, we had all like the crap. Rutgers highlights.
But, you did? Oh, really?
Yeah.
We have.
You sounded bad. You sound like you're really upset.
I was upset. I didn't think I sounded bad, but yeah, I was disappointed. I wanted to see them win, of course.
Why wouldn't he be?
No, I know it
they
just
had a,
sounded
they had
like
a lead.
So negative.
Right at
I
the
was
end.
Not negative.
You were so negative.
No, I wasn't negative. That the comeback they had, we were into it. It was they were down 15.
Yeah, but
they
then
come
he got
storming
crushed
back
in overtime. He didn't have a chance.
Well, in the second overtime.
First of all, they had an opportunity to win at the end of regulation,
which I played for you. Yeah.
They had an opportunity to win at the end of overtime, and then when they hit back to back threes and they got down 6-8, it was like uh oh, and they looked like Dylan Harper looked gassed at that point.
Yeah,
I mean it takes a little bit of wind out of yourselves when you kind of realize, I don't know if they're going to be able to come back again.
No, I listening to you as you reflected the negativity of the game at that point.
When did I?
Did a good job.
I did not reflect negativity at all. I was very into this game. That play was sick.
AG
hands it off to Yates. 4 to shoot. Yates into a long three. Good. It's 89-83. Well, couple of big hoops here for USC.
Big hoops.
I'm doing a game. I am doing a game for what I believe is the Rutgers fans.
Correct.
Do you want me to get fired up over that?
No. I just felt
that's
like
it was deflating.
Yeah, you did a good job of bringing the negativity to the moment.
You suck. All right. Yeah, well, next hour.
Here's that's a professional. Have. That's a professional.
Okay.
A basket with BT in there.
Okay.
We have the final call, and then there's the full 1 hour and 22 minute broadcast.
The whole thing's in there.
Yeah. So someone basically said, "You go ahead and find whatever highlight you want."
All right, we got to go.
So
next hour,
Patino had all kinds of fun during the game, after the game. So
all right, UConn we got St. John's well. Marquette today at 6:30.
Right.
I got Maryland and Illinois at 6:30.
The Big Ten's got four games. Seven of those eight teams are ranked, and UCLA should be ranked. So it's going to be a heck of a week, a heck of a day for the Big Ten.
It is.
Yeah, Maryland's got a big game. I'll take a quick break.
Rangers Devils won as well.
Yes.